It is good to see everybody today. It is May 28th, 2017, and today here in Waynesboro, Tennessee, in the Wayne County Bible Center, we are celebrating the paying off of our building. 17 years we have had the privilege of being here, and I'm saying this if you're listening on the website today, because the message will be quite different, but we hope you will get a blessing of it as much as we will, as I'll be sharing some personal things about all these wonderful folks that minister together here in Wayne County, Tennessee. So we're going to begin today looking at a message in Joshua. We're going to begin in Joshua chapter 3, and I'll read the first five verses. A message I've entitled, Remember What the Lord Your God Has Done. Holy Spirit, please lead us. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel enlarged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the hosts, and they commanded the people, saying, When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, they will go before you, then you are to get up and you're to go after it. And in verse 4, he says, Don't come near unto the ark, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. You got to follow God, because you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And in verse 15, as they bare the ark and were come unto the flooded river Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bare the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, because Jordan overflowed the banks in the fall time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap, very far from the city Adam, that is, beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, they were stopped up and were cut off. And all the children of Israel passed right over against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. You say, praise Jesus. And that's something. Now chapter 4. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take 12 men out of the people, one out of every tribe, and tell them to take out of the midst of the Jordan on the very place where the priest's feet stood on dry ground there to get 12 stones. They're going to carry them over to the other side where we're going to camp this night. And you're going to stack those stones up. And in verse 6, when your children ask you, What do these stones mean? Then you shall answer them and say that the Lord cut off the waters of Jordan before the Ark of the Covenant. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to remember what the Lord your God has done. And in verse 20 he said, And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan, Joshua stacked in Gilgal. And he said, When they say, What do these stones mean? You shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us. that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that you might fear, reverence, and worship the Lord your God forever. The Lord will do wonders among you. Hereby you shall know that the living God is among you. Today, remember what the Lord your God has done. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come today, I ask for forgiveness, a daily sin, and a cleansing. Forgive me of my weekly sin and daily sin that I confess to you out loud in the closet, that I confess to you out loud again a few moments ago in that apartment. Because I need most of all to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus and then to be filled by your Spirit and anointed by your Spirit to wash the feet of these people. So, Holy Spirit, we want to thank you for this gathering today of souls and hearts that are in this building. And we know that the church is the people, the called out, the ecclesia, the assembly. But we thank you for a building in which we can meet. And we thank you for the dear souls you use to get us in this building. And so we praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Today we celebrate 17 years of paying off what everybody in this county calls Sonia and Belinda, the old Mathis Hardware built. And that's where we are. And folks will say, well, where do you folks meet at? And I'll say, well, we meet in the old Mathis Hardware building off the square. I was in Leaper's Fork last Saturday. And I was leaving the wedding of Mary Milam. And Coach Bird and Sherry and Patty and I were talking and we were leaving. And there was a very nice couple sitting in the back as Patty and I were headed to the vehicle. And they stopped us and they said, They said, are you from, you're from Waynesboro? I said, yes, sir, I am. He goes, you have a church in Waynesboro? I said, yes, sir, I do. He goes, we're from Waynesboro. I didn't ask them who they were. And they said, where's your church? And I said, oh, it's in the old Mathis Hardware building right off. So, oh, well, yeah, we know where that is. So there in Leaper's Fork, they knew where that was. But I want to get you very briefly to how we got to this building. And then we just want to praise God for some things. And I'm going to read some things out loud. So some of you can remember 23 years ago in August 1994, I had the privilege of preaching a revival at Philadelphia Baptist Church. Following that, I had the privilege of being the interim pastor at Green River Baptist Church from January 95 until September of 1996. Now, 23 years ago, some of you folks were in college. You weren't even married. I could dribble a basketball and run up and down a floor a little bit and bump into people's heads and stuff. A lot has changed in 23 years. But I want you to think back to how young you were. You may have had hair and it may have been brown. You may even have had some teeth at that time. But I want you to think back. Now, following that time of interim, in November of 1996, I did a revival at First Baptist Church Collinwood, Miss Jane. Miss Jane and Mona and Pat Brewer and Leanne Brewer and some of those folks were there. And it was a great privilege, but I will never forget driving up on that Sunday morning in that 1988 Ford Bronco 2. That would eventually have 260,000 miles on it. And I keep looking at people and remind, we rolled David Miller's house in that Bronco. Gloria and Fonda rolled my Bronco. But and I'm seeing people and these things are coming to my mind. I got out the car and I'll never forget I saw Ricky Brewer walking from the back of the church toward the front, and there were cars parked there, and I parked in the back. And I said, I saw him, so glad to see him. I said, Ricky, what in the world are you doing? And he said, hey, man, we're going to start a church. And I said, man, Ricky, that's great. I will pray for you as you folks try to start a church. Well, I want to praise God that following that, or during that revival, Brother Neil Daniel came up to me before I left. And he said, we're going to rent the Woodman Building next month. Would you come and do 3 or 4 nights at the Woodman Building? And I said, yeah. And Neil would call me pretty much every week and make sure everything was going well. And so we did that in December. And before we left in December, Brother Neil said, we're going to rent the Woodman Building next month. Would you come in January? And I said I would. And in the spring of 1997, the Lord led a group of people. Many of them are in this room right now. And they decided they wanted to start a church and start a fellowship. And I went with a brother who is in this church right now. And we met with Mr. Sonny Hughes. And asked him about his armory building. And he said, yeah, sure, you fellas can use that. I'd be proud of y'all to be in that building. And we said, well, Sonny, what are you going to charge? Oh, I'm not going to charge anything. Let me get a good roof on it. I'm going to put a new roof on it. I don't want y'all meeting in there without a roof. And, well, you're going to put a roof on it and you're not going to. No, I don't want you fellas to pay me a dime. And we said, Miss Sonny, you're going to have to charge us something. And he said, well, you think $75 would be all right? So our first building, $75, Sonny put the roof on and he threw in those orange chairs, LaDonna, those big orange chairs. And we moved over here. Those are heavy, aren't they, Clint? And we had them big orange chairs. And I want you to understand that on June 8th, 1997, in this green book, that Miss Margaret Daniel, our first recording secretary, kept wonderful, wonderful records. On June 8th, 1997, we recorded the first official membership in the Wayne County Bible Center. And it was basically about 40-something adults that were in that original statement of faith or transfer of letter. And that was June 8th, 1997. So next weekend will be 20 years of an official membership in the Wayne County Bible Center as a church ministry. And we were at the Armory Building. We had a wonderful time there for 1997. And 1998 and the beginning of 1999. And then folks said that there was going to be a new elementary school. And it was going to be built on that site. And we were going to have to get out of the building. And for the second time, I saw Margie crying that... the first time she broke into our gated community in Brevard, North Carolina, showed up at our door, security guards following her. Patty didn't know who she was, and she was crying and said, we need a preacher. Patty said, where'd this woman come from? This time she's crying, we need a building. What are we going to do? We don't have a building. And so we began looking for a building. And a group of men, we'd get in a van, and we'd go out Highway 64 East here. We'd look at lots. We'd go around the bypass. We were looking at lots. We go down Hog Creek, and we were looking at lots. And so our idea was we were going to buy a lot, we were going to build a building, and we were going to go into debt. But the problem was, and it was a realistic problem that I was reminded of this week because I'd forgotten. On your end, you were saying, you know, if we do this and we go into all this debt, you know, Brother Leo's wife and son live in Brevard. His parents and their family is in Charleston. What if after 2 months or 2 years, Brother Leo decides to go back to Brevard or Charleston and feels as though the Lord's leading him there? It would take us time to get another pastor. Are we going to be able to hold things together, you know, to pay debt? And so we went through this process probably for about 6 or 7 months, and then I got a call in Brevard on one morning. I'll never forget it. And an individual told me that they had just rode by the old Mathis Hardware building, and there had been a hardware bunch that was in here, I think leasing from y'all's mom and dad, and they had the sign that said, "We have moved," and they moved out there down there by y'all. And so they said, there's a sign in the building that says, "We have moved, and we need to look into this building." So a group of men came in and looked into this building. I wasn't with them, but the next call I got was this: if it'll work out and we can get that building, we don't have to pave a parking lot. We got a free parking lot. All right, number one. There's a vacant lot next to the building where we can put a fence up and a playground, and Miss Betty Burris and the Mother's Day Out can be there. They measured this room, and it was the same exact size as the armory space, minus the addition of the kitchen. There was a back room area that we could partition off for the two Sunday school rooms like we had over there. I'm looking at LaDonna, not only for Miss Betty Burris, but when we were at the Armory building, a lot of you may not remember, LaDonna and I had the privilege of doing the youth on Sunday night. And we'd do a devotion with them, and then we'd play volleyball. And we had about 20 or 25 kids. And some of those kids had never played volleyball. Some of them boys had never been around girls, LaDonna. And we had something going there, I'm telling you. But incredible, incredible time. And I just praise God. You know, as you look around these rooms, like Lehman was saying, I sat in the apartment the other day and cried. I had those books, you know, looking at all those pictures. But anyway, so we could have that. We could have a kitchen, and we could use the apartment. I was living at the time above Golden Goodies, and every morning at 5 o'clock, Margie and Carolyn would come in there banging those pots and pans, and it was getting real aggravating. And you'd smell turkey coming up. But we could take the insurance part and make an apartment for Brother Leo to travel back and forth. So it fit like a glove. Just give the Lord a hand for that. And so our folks met with Mr. Perlis and Miss Jeanette. And I'm going to read you just two brief paragraphs, and then I will summarize a third. But it says this: "This agreement made and entered into effective this, the first day of November 1999, by and between Perlis Bryson Jr. and wife Jeanette Bryson, hereinafter referred to as the lessor, and Floyd C. Neal Daniel, as trustee for the benefit of the Wayne County Bible Center, hereinafter referred to as lessee. The term of this agreement shall be for a period of 211 months beginning on November 1st, 1999. So 211 months beginning on November 1st, 1999. However, if for any reason a month arose and we could not pay the monthly payment, there was a grace period, but if we did not make the payment by the grace period, the building lease would be broken, we would have to vacate, and Mr. Perlis and Ms. Jeanette could sell it or release it or do whatever they wanted to do. So we entered into this agreement so that we would have no debt. If the money could be raised monthly for 211 months, at the end of that time, we would come into ownership of that building. Remember what the Lord your God has done for you. Sonia and Belinda, when your mom and dad entered in to this agreement here on earth, I want you to know that it opened doors in heaven. And lives have been changed. People have had the privilege of meeting here to pray for one another, to encourage one another, to hear sermons and teachings and songs and praises. Sonia told me several weeks ago, as she and Belinda worked in here as little girls, she said, "Brother Leo, right up there where the pulpit is, that's where the fishing supplies were." So you become a fisher of men, you know. This is where the fishing supplies were. But one thing you may not know, the moment these people made a commitment to this building was the moment Patty and I sat down when I got back to Brevard and I said, "Patty, these people have made a 17-year commitment to a building. And I realize we're not under debt, but it wouldn't be a good Christian witness to not pay this agreement off. And so I think the Lord expects us to make a full commitment to those people." And so it was this decision that this church body made that moved my family here and changed our lives. Tremendous. So I thank you as representatives of your mom and dad. There have been so many families who have come here for Mother's Day out, for youth program, following a funeral, to have a meal. And everything's been set up so beautifully. I tell the story all the time. And you know, Miss Betty, I'm so glad you're here. Before we leave, we're going to sing "I'll Fly Away," okay? Because that was Nub's favorite song. And we're going to sing that here in a minute. But it was always Nub and Lehman and, you know, sitting in those chairs where Ricky and Marcia are sitting. And I'd do a funeral next door, go to the cemetery or come back or whatever. And I'd come over here and we'd be saying, "Yeah, you know," and that bunch in the back, those ladies, they'd be saying, we don't think we got enough chicken," or "we don't think we got enough ham." And, you know, we'd all wait to make sure everybody else got something to eat. But, you know, Brother Leo, I mean, I not only fast the day of a funeral, I fast the day before a funeral. Man, I'm hungry. So I'm waiting. And me and Lehman and Nub, we're over here. There was a table over here, and I said, I think the line's through. Let's go on up there. Well, we go on up there. Well, there's no more fried chicken. And this one fella, he's standing over there with his plate all stacked up. And I know she knows the story. And I went over there, and the fella said, man, you did a great job with that service. I said I did. He said, yeah. I said, did you know? Oh no, I didn't know him. As a matter of fact, I don't really know anybody. You know, I was invited to come over, and I don't even know if the guy went to the funeral. And here he is eating all the fried chicken. But anyway, it's been a great, great blessing. All that has been offered here. We had a philosophy coming in. And the philosophy was not to let the right hand know what the left hand was doing. And this building is paid off because so many things have been done in 17 years and they just get done. Stuff gets provided and stuff gets paid for and things get brought in. And nobody knows and nobody needs to know because the good Lord knows. And we do it unto Jesus. We wanted simplicity, you know, the opportunity I did to teach the Word of God unfettered and to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And so it has been a great privilege, Belinda and Sonia, for me to be able to say what I said earlier today. I love to say we are just a simple little ministry that meets in an old hardware building. And I'm very proud of that. I spoke with a man, Cleo, the cousin to Tracy, at the funeral home the other night. And I told him that. And he's from Ohio. And he said to me, he goes, oh, up in Ohio, we call those storefront ministries. And I said, well, I guess we're a storefront ministry, but I always say we're just behind the square. But I imagine so that we are a storefront ministry. But it is a great and wonderful privilege. We have the privilege now of baptizing in this building. What was over in this corner? Do you remember the merchandise that was in this corner back in the day? The fishing hooks. And came back this way. So we praise God that we baptize on this end. And the Lord has provided in a mighty way. So as Cleo always says, he says he looks around this room and he sees miracles. And I just praise God for all the miracles that are in this room. We have prayed for heart transplants and kidney transplants. We have stood together in waiting rooms, in ICU. We have driven to Knoxville and had a little girl, followed a little girl and her little baby Lauren when we went to Knoxville to see Jim. Every time I look, you just see. I found a decision card. In 1997, the last person that made a decision for Christ that year, it was the first Sunday in December, and it was a young lady whose name has changed now, but back then her name was Christy Pope, and now it's Brian. And, you know, all these things, when you look in this green book, it brings back all these wonderful memories. But we have stood together in hospitals. You have stood with me and we have stood together in courtrooms. We have stood together in storms and in difficult situations. And we have always had this place to come back to, where we could feel the peace and the love and the warmth and the support of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. And you know, I am sure, Belinda and Sonia, that your mom and dad made a whole lot of great business decisions over the years because they were successful in business. And I know that they worked very, very hard. But I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for the decision they made.
Yeah. Thank you.
To enter into something that's written here on paper. But there's a whole lot of stuff now written in heaven.
Amen.
As a result of their legacy.
Yeah.
To you and to us and to this community.
Yeah.
I'm going to close us out with a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing the song, I'll Fly Away, and then I'll come back out. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to thank you. As Lehman said, every picture over there is a life. It is a memory of you blessing us. Father, out of that first bunch, that made that decision 20 years ago this week, 11 of those are with you in heaven. And Father, we just want to thank you that we are all still together, bound by your Holy Spirit, and bound, Lord Jesus, by the unique opportunity to be part of something like this. So unworthy, Lord. But we just stand today thanking you and giving you all the glory for blessing us above and beyond. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask you all to stand.